Arquitetura entre vistas. Your public space for thinking architecture is now going abroad. Welcome, I'm Catarina, no longer a student, not yet an architect. Join me and a guest architect 3 times a month, with new episodes dropping every 3rd, 13th and 23rd. 3 is the number to remember. Each episode on a different place, but always on Spotify. And Instagram and on the website arquitecturaentrevistas.com. Go check it out. Just before we start, a few words from our sponsors.
Microcrete, a Portuguese micro-cement brand. Choose from a wide range of colors and finishes with both practical and decorative benefits for floors and walls. Beyond production, Microcrete collaborates with skilled professionals for its optimal application.
Now, let's talk architecture.
In this episode, we land in Basel, Switzerland. Today, in the voice of Andreas Brandler, whom, in the company of Daniel Buchner, together they have founded the studio Bruckner Brandler Architekten back in 1997. If I'm doing the maths correctly, this means they have been in the field for 26 years. And this time range is more than enough to understand that Bruckner Brandler architecture is not subject to a recurrent formalism, as each project develops its own identity. Each project shimmers from the context, yet we never know which direction it will take. Each project carries the weight of specificity. Andreas, with your practice, you question very common concepts such as context, interior and exterior, in-between spaces, materiality, old and new. But all these general concepts are treated in a very specific way. Is it correct to say that you explore archetypes as if they were prototypes?
Well, maybe we could say so. You've started to talk about context and the environment, the situation that has grown over years. And I think definitely the starting point for each concept that we develop, we kind of do some research work about how things came together and how a place became what it is at the present condition, at the present state. Actually, in our last book, we even went further. We were working with historians to kind of analyze the traces of society even further back, kind of a play in a way to understand more how places became what they are and how they appear. So this is indeed interesting and for us a very, very important source of the architectural topic, of the architectural theme. And this example of digging deep in history and through the eyes of historians kind of made it more clear that it's absolutely interesting to trace the value of a place, to kind of see what is hidden there. I think this becomes more and more important in our work. In the beginning, it was more or less a contextualist view on things, maybe more the way we would directly react on being on a place, seeing a built situation. But more and more, this is becoming a major topic, I think, as we see that it is essential. It is essential to understand what have generations before us thought about architecture, how they have put it into place. Because in general, in most cases in our country, there are built traces in every place, in every spot. I mean, there's hardly no, you couldn't find a condition where there's just a untouched, that is untouched, that is not thought by humans, that is not built by humankind. Let's say even remote areas in our country. We've built 2 projects in the Canton Ticino. Even these areas, they are formed by mankind. So the anthropos, I mean, the humans have created landscape, have created infrastructure, have created built environment. And this is interesting to see as a background to our work. Also, in the nowadays topic, of reuse, of continuation, it is very important to see the value of the existing.
Yes, I wonder, and I didn't know about this, but Switzerland is actually a very populated country, and I wasn't really aware of that because we always imagine those green fields and so. And I wonder if your matter for making meaningful architecture is also to maybe find a reason for something to be constructed. We are doing this, but because this has value.
Yes. You know, actually, since we started our own practice, we have been constantly working on remodeling existing structure. If I look back, this wasn't driven by a ecological topics. In most cases, it was just a general interest for what is there and what can we learn from what we see and what we find. And of course, in some cases, as these projects were mainly for private clients, it was also an economical topic. Because to continue on the existing structure, for instance, could also lead to economical concepts. There wasn't such a high or a constant awareness for what is there. But of course, in the nowadays situation, and this is maybe different to Portugal. I don't know about the debate in Portugal, but in Switzerland, the awareness is arising since years. And it's discussion about, let's say, new construction versus existing, remodeling existing, transformation of existing. It's an essential topic more and more. And I think we have, in a way, we have the knowledge and also the interest. If I look back and think back of our early concepts, very often we have found mediocre structures, you know, simple houses that we didn't see much interest in them, in what was found. But we saw the potential of building upon the existing and creating houses with identity, with a use, with a kind of a potential for the inhabitants to kind of fulfill their ideas. In that sense, I think we are close to this topic since ever. And of course, it is, you've been asking the question if every project is a prototype. If you think of something already made, or something that is found, and something is being remodeled, it is already unique. I mean, it's, if you work with something existing, you're linked to its history and you're linked to material and to form and space, and in that sense it's more obvious that each project has a certain uniqueness. Compare it to a new construction. I mean, you can reconstruct again, of course, you know, I mean, in some bigger projects repetition is needed, and if you look at the landscape in general, a type of building is developed and it's being reproduced to kind of generate an assembled bigger form. I mean, this is also part of any new city development, to kind of define prototypes and reproduce them.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, we're coming more from the idea of a very particular view on things, and every project sets parameters in a new way. In that sense, the result will be unique.
Yes. You have named a few types of dialogues that have to happen for architecture to happen as well, namely sustainability, economical discussion, historical analysis. And it's quite interesting to understand that even if you use the as found condition, it was not due to sustainability. Maybe there is something else we can add to that. Some people believe that architecture is a practice that solves issues from other fields, whether it is about society, about urbanism, about sustainability, the list goes on. Doesn't architecture have a self as well? Isn't architecture also about architecture?
Yes, of course it is. I think in every generation, this will be defined in a new way. So if I look back and our time when we studied and about discussion in that period, architecture was driven more, on one hand, more by social aspects, and the architects had to kind of bring it back to the topic of architecture, you know, the elements of space and material and light. So these classical topics of architecture that make architecture unique, if you compare to other fields, such as the art, sculpture, film, whatever. I think to create space is one of the major architectural topics. And of course, this is always the main source of our thinking and doing, to think about space and the quality of space. This, in a way, it's a secret, the secret value of architecture that differs architecture just from built. Where does architecture start, and where do we just build spaces that can be used? There is a big difference when we can see qualities. We immediately are connected with a space, and we feel happy, we feel relieved, we feel confident. And if this doesn't happen, we just find ourselves in a space that is not thought for humans, maybe, that is just thought of for something else, for animals or for cars. I think this is really the essential thing. Space, form, light. Even nowadays, as we are tending towards a more construction-focused dialogue with clients or with authorities, this is still has to be kept in mind. I mean, sustainability, what does it mean? We use materials, they come from local sources. The CO2, the carbon footprint, is very low. We have techniques. We kind of construct in a way that we can deassemble the build structures again. Maintenance is a topic. And all the elements that have a shorter lifespan can be built back again, that can be taken out, can be replaced. All these things are construction focused. This is just now where the discussion goes. And I think the discussion is right. But at the same time, we still deal with spatial questions. And the spatial question is on every scale, on every level. It's on the urban level, it's on the level of the house, it's on the level of the detail. This will remain. Mm-hmm. I think it's the focus is slightly shifted from the outside view. We also struggle with that because we say, doesn't make sense to use concrete as a material. So we have to think of very simple structures. Little span means more structural elements in the verticality. What spatial issue? What does happen now? And how do we deal? Let's say we have to get out of the comfort zone. I think that's it. Accept the changes and find new ways to define the architectural topics in general. The idea of architecture suddenly is not as simple as it was 10 or 20 years ago. These are still architectural questions. If you talk about construction, we're talking about form, we're talking about tectonics, but in a slightly different way. And we still have to learn a lot.
We always do.
We always do, but this is a completely new field. You've been asking what does the architect deal with let's say the overall questions of our generation or of your generation, of the younger generation, of the future generation. We could try to continue, but at the end we are convinced already that we cannot continue. We have to be inventive, and we have to bring new ideas into form.
And we can see that in your practice, actually, because by going from your early bird projects and your most recent ones, we can see there is a slight shift, for example, in some scaffolding-like structures that would probably not happen in your early projects, but we see them emerging now in your practice.
Well, we were always interested. We were really interested in the dialogue of houses with the environment. But in that sense, Most of our projects were more open structural concepts in order to kind of link the houses with the direct space of the city, with nature, with the garden, with the topos. And in that sense, it was always kind of interesting also to work on in-between spaces. Very many projects, we kind of invented solutions for that.
Mm-hmm.
So this remains, I would say. It's also interesting to think about variation of this in-between space, of a kind of a layered facade, of a deep facade, of things that make architecture lively in the sense that you can change its appearance, you can open windows, you have sliding doors, you have sliding elements. The night situation and the day situation are different. This can remain. Of course, you have to think about transparency and rethink transparency or openness, because this is in very many cases in our climate situation, if we consider the climate aspects, it is rather difficult. In your context, you would say to bring the heat out. In our context, it's also to get the heat out of the house. In winter, it changes, kind of not lose any energy from the inside. So the window is being threatened. It's also becoming a very exclusive element. It's becoming an expensive element. And it's, of course, it's bearing a lot of CO2. Because in our climate situation, we work with triple glazed windows in most cases. This mm-hmm. is what is needed. So we have a transmission code of 0.6 of a window pane, and that's enormous. Sometimes we think it's insane what we are constructing with the kind of windows. So we think of other solutions of houses with in-between spaces. We find it interesting to think about spaces that are not heated, because then we kind of lower the requirement to the construction. Maybe I can name this summer house project in Ticino. I mean, it's a very, very special house, of course.
Super special. There, I love that project.
For us, it's a prototype on several levels. But if I talk about this aspect of the window and of the question of how much space do we need and for how long and how do we kind of make it comfortable and have a good climate situation, because this is one of the major aspects of houses, you know, that we feel comfortable. In summer, we're being protected from the sun. In winter, we're protected from the cold. So in that case, we had a far too big existing housing structure. We wouldn't have been able to kind of reconstruct and kind of consolidate everything and bring it into a full housing, a full condition. So we came up with the idea of the summer house that is completely open to the environment, that kind of changes where the temperature changes. It's just a shelter. And beside that, we have a winter house that's a super highly insulated wooden box that you can heat with either with candles or with the oven, or if you're cooking, it's already heated. And so if you are there in winter time, you need to wait until the weather is nice and you can kind of use the outdoor space. And if not, you're concentrated to this kind of a black box that is just giving the required space for a family. It's of course not a normal or not a standard concept for a house, but it's interesting to think about at the end what's essential, what's necessary, and this can kind of bring us to new solutions for the broader field of architecture.
Yeah, we started this as if it was a sustainability issue, but it ends up to be about architecture. As you were speaking of this Ticino project, this also reminded me of the Lenicio project that is actually very similar in a way that you have found ruin, let's call it, and then you do some very subtle changes without hurting much of its past existence. I might explain a bit of how this project works. So you have this layered stone facade, and then on the interior part, all the floors, all the walls, all the ceilings, it's made out of concrete, just as if you have this box inside a box. But at the same time, the old and new are completely merged together. And there is this very particular, and I would say intelligent, detail that is to have the bedroom on top of the fireplace. So this is a very nice way to keep the ground floor very warm as well. You know, it's these very little details that you seem to reach in every project.
You know, when we talk about roots and sources that are given or that are found, or you said you mentioned the expression as found, this house was a ruin. It was abandoned for 50 years. A very typical stone house of the region, even with a stone-covered roof. In the time nobody lived there, all the wooden parts were under a certain decay. The roof collapsed, and even the in-between floors collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
The house was a 1-3 three-story house. When we entered it, you were standing under the open sky, and you had the impression of a very high house. Before it was super dense with in between slabs, wooden structures, and that brought us to the idea of this monolithic space that would also stabilize the existing walls. So it was really merged together also from a constructive point of view. And of course, the roof would bring heavy load that enabled us to cover it with the stones again. And yeah, as you mentioned, the fireplace on the gallery, that is a side effect, as the house does not have any other ways to be heated except than the fireplace itself. Of course, the housing concept, that is rather specific, but that would lead to concepts that we could use again in another environment. So for instance, the Linesha project, we would call it a supporting core, as the concrete is stabilizing the weakness of the stacked stone walls. We came up with a similar concept for the Kunsthaus Basel-Land, so the art museum Basel-Land, where we implemented a supporting core into an existing storage building from the 1940s that was at its limit in terms of structure and in terms of stability. And by inserting this new meandering form in concrete, we could stabilize the existing, we could keep the existing structure, the outer structure, and we were also able to subdivide the enormous space in order to transform it into a exhibition hall with a suite of rooms of different formats and of different sizes. Although the Ticino projects, they are kind of unique, and we wouldn't just concentrate of buildings in the Alps. I mean, this is really rather special to have the possibility to build in a remote area. Still, we can learn from this practice, and we can adapt this to situations in cities or in closer area.
Yes, it is amazing how ideas can be so elastic, and that can be reinvented by several people, by several times. It's really amazing. And I really want to make this relation between the house we were now speaking in the Lecino house, this concrete structure that stabilizes the pre-existent wall. This immediately reminded me of the artwork by Rachel White Reed named House. It was made in 1994, and just to give a little context for those who are listening, just give this mental image. It is an artwork in which Rachel White Reed, she pours liquid concrete inside into a building's empty shell, and then she takes out the walls, and what is left is the casted building. Maybe the big difference is that her idea was to make the space of a house unlivable, and your intake is quite the opposite, that is to make the house livable again. But it's really interesting how we can connect very different practices that seem not to be connected, but maybe they actually are.
Maybe there was a thought that it was linked to her work because we love it. You know, I mean, it's part of your existence that you see things and you find them interesting and you kind of store them somewhere. But it wasn't the direct, you know, it was so obvious. The moment of entering the ruin and what was there and the atmosphere, it was so direct and strong that the concert, I think, is coming from that moment. Of course, when you start to work out the concept, you think, all right, this is what we do is actually the same process.
Yeah,
we have the existing wall, and now we pour concrete against the existing. Well, in our case, we never took away the stone walls. We could, or we should, maybe, and we would have a rich white reed like expression in the surface. I mean, our Rachel White Reed is always hidden. It's part of the existing. It's linked to the existing. It's glued to the existing.
I really like this thing that is, you have the same process, you have the same materials, yet the result is, it's the opposite of one and the other. These are complete opposites. And architecture is made out of these things. And I think you also work a lot with contradiction.
Yes, but let's stay with the thought of the similarity that the as found. I think the as found movement, I'm sure that Rachel White Reed, although she's coming from the field of art, I'm sure she knew about it. In that sense, it's her work is also a result of being aware of existing situations and trying to keep something that is invisible or to give it another expression or to, I mean, this is one of her projects. And then she's had the library project, I think that was in Vienna, that is even more, maybe more didactic because you can read the books and it's not just an interior space. It's also the including the context of the space, I mean, the book. And what is equal is the process of doing. We have the method and we construct, and the aim is maybe similar. The way of doing is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Having something or finding an existing and pouring a liquid towards its surface and also letting it go in a certain way. You know, I mean, you lose control. While you pour, you lose control of the material. The material, the specificity of the material itself does the work. If you have a brick and you build a brick wall, I mean, you kind of add things. That's also interesting. It's just something completely different than building a form and pouring concrete into it. And this is, of course, one of the reasons why we like to work with concrete a lot, that we cannot completely control. And the process itself is also uncontrollable. And there is always a big surprise when you kind of reveal the form that is grown out of this process. And the form and the surface, they have their uniqueness or even their unique history. In the forming process with concrete, you have a certain or an uncertainty that is part of the process. And that makes buildings very special.
It does, but it also says that architects might be a little crazy because we always aim for the limit. We always aim for experimenting new things. We're always out of comfort. It's quite crazy that.
Yes, and you have to convince others to accept this.
Mm-hmm.
When we have so many discussions with clients, with whoever, even with constructors, because they are afraid of a surface that might not be perfect.
Uh-huh.
In the last past years, concrete has become a very chic material, a very... you know, the atmosphere of concrete spaces, the industrial look and everything, this is is underlies a certain trend. You know, you can even go to restaurants and they will have concrete surfaces that, because they just want this industrial atmosphere. So concrete has become a surface material. And for us, it's really this driver, you know, that we have to let go. And through that, we find a very specific beauty. We have several projects in Germany with a different culture for concrete. We find that in general, the clients, as the constructors, they are very much afraid of a not perfect concrete surface. And that's why they don't even go into that.
This actually is not only about concrete. I remember reading something from you. I think it was about your first new construction house.
Yes. Ash.
So I remember you saying something about the Ash house, that is this house completely transparent and squarish. And then on the second floor, you have this metal 8mm sheet.
Yeah, shield, yeah.
That has circular holes. And in a conversation with the constructor, he said these holes would corrode.
Yeah.
In 20 years' time, they would actually decay and the structure would fall. Now, I made the maths and it was built in 2003. And now we are in 2023, which means it is 20th birthday this year. I now want to ask you, how is this structure going? Did it collapse after all?
Well, it would be like a guillotine. It would kind of, you know, kind of you're underneath, it would slice you into two pieces because the metal parts, they're rather heavy. I think everything is still good. Maybe we have good weather conditions, better than thought, less rain, of course, less corrosion. We haven't heard anything. So I'm glad that it's not happening. Well, but I don't know any further news. I could inform you. Thank you for the hint. I think I'll go and get a look.
Maybe you should check on the client. But I think this is very interesting to think that the corrosion or the decay of the material, as these circular holes are becoming wider, then they are also accepting the city. The city and the building are becoming one.
Or the garden.
The
garden, because the house, as a type of building, it's more referring to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's less a house of that neighborhood, because those houses, they all have sloped roofs and have solid facades and small tiny windows, and the gardens are fenced up. So this type of building is more a shelter than the type of house that you would expect there. So it's in a way more relating to secondary structures, ephemeral structures that you find in the gardens, such as greenhouses or garden. We call it Sitzplatz, pergola situations.
Uh-huh. So the garden acts as an in-between space.
Well, or in other words, the house did not want to belong to the neighborhood. More to the dynamic of the in-between space. Yes, the garden that grows, that changes its appearance. This is where we would see the concept of the house.
It now comes to my mind this relation that can connect many parts from this conversation. This idea of, with the same material, different approaches. The metal sheet in this case is something that decays, but there is another project of yours, the Kunis residential tower. So it's this vertical building that grows in the landfill. And here the metal is used as a metal sheet that covers the facade of this tower. In the first project, it decays. And in the second project, the metal is about letting nature blossom into it. So one is about decaying and the other is about growing. And both use the same material to do so.
I mean, in the concept of the burn tower, we would see the green, well, let's call it filter.
Mm-hmm.
We would see it as the garment of the house that changes its appearance and form throughout the year. So actually, the house is pretty naked in winter as the plants leave all the leaves. and they start to grow again in springtime and have their full form in summer. This was part of the concept that we interweave the green with the structure of the house. And of course, the metal, there's a, on one hand, there are these metal bars that form view areas, that frame views to the landscape. So if you're on the terrace, there are parts that cannot be covered by the plants. Beside that, we have the metal mesh that is being used as the structure for the creepers, for the plants to climb up on. And what is special about the concept is that we kind of inserted the plants into molds, into the platforms. So it's not the idea of adding plants on the platforms, but kind of seeing them as part of the spatial situation of the terrace. So once you come from the inside to the terrace, you're on the same level as the plants grow. It's also, in a way, it's out of control. We can only add a few parameters. For instance, the amount of soil that would kind of control the size of the plants. Of course, the type of plants that is depending on the side of the building, if it's the sunny side or the shady side. And we have made studies in the concept phase to see how the house would change its appearance. But now it's handed over to the inhabitants and they are the gardeners and they are the creators of their house and of the expression of their house.
And once again, this is about the delight for imperfection.
Yes, maybe yes. Or yeah, you're right. I mean, it's totally out of control.
And at the same time, this is also about context after all. What first might sound as a very acontextual project because it is a tower in the middle of a horizontal landfill is actually very, very much about the context. Sometimes when we try to be the opposite of something, it's when we actually rely the most to that something we are trying to go against.
Yes. Of course, at the end, the house is standing by itself and there are almost no relatives around. So it's a high-rise building that is marking maybe a more geographical position, because in that position, you're kind of in between the landscape and the city. And although the built environment is growing outwards, it's still a position where you have, you feel the end of the denser area of the city. And from there onwards, there are views into the Alps, into the further environment. And in that sense, the house, I think it symbolizes change from highly built area to the landscape. I mean, it is rather special with this idea of being controlled by plants, that the form is ever changing. This, of course, comes from a more narrative concept. You have an idea, you have a certain experiences that you want to transform into a built structure.
Yes. Yeah. So, a place.
The house I'm living in with my children.
An architect.
Koderk. I don't know why, but we've been talking about filters, about deep facades, about types of buildings, context. Yes.
A project of your own.
Again, the house I'm living in, the house at Mission Street in Basel. It's a transformation of an old stables building.
Last but not least, a project from another architect.
Oh my God. What should I say? It's strange. Is it strange that I think of Palladio?
We all agree on that.
Why not? Why not? Because, of course, talking about sustainability, to build for eternity, that's the most sustainable way of building. So let's do things of high quality. And let's see that we build things that can last.
Thank you, Andreas, for being contextual and acontextual at the same time, for aiming for imperfection and for not being afraid of imperfection. Danke.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Obrigado.
Thank you for listening. Did you know you can also take part in this episode? Go to arquitecturaentrevistas.com and upload images of projects that came to your mind while listening to this episode. For each episode, you will find a cloud of references uploaded by listeners all over the world. Of course, you can check on this collection anytime for your own projects as well. Hit the follow button for more thoughts on architecture and catch daily updates on Instagram. Obrigada!